Welcome to the Unmothered Podcast. Join me as we explore all the feelings and confusion surrounding the mother-daughter bond. Laugh with me, cry with me, and learn new ways to cope with what can be a very lonely existence without a mother to rely on. Are you ready? Let's dive in. Welcome back in, peeps. How are you doing? Okay, so today I decided to do a episode on my original book, Unmothered. I have not talked about this. It's been 4 years now, almost 5 years since I've put this book out. And I just finished the last chapter of my next book, which is going to be Unmothered No More. I don't have the subtitle nailed down yet, but basically it's going to be a companion book to Unmothered. This is a memoir about the story of the relationship between my mom and I, how I maneuvered that and raised two girls to end up in a different kind of environment than the one I grew up in. And so the second book is actually a companion book that is going to, it's pretty much the thing that I walk through my clients in the coaching realm of the six life lessons of what we need to do to clear the path to start doing things differently than the way we've grown up. And I wanted to read this little section and kind of talk about this book and the next book coming up. And so we'll dig into that in a minute, but let me just read a little excerpt. This is towards the end, a lot towards the end of the book. And I'll just read this part. Once she could walk again, Mom had returned to her old ways. She currently lived above a bar. She could walk downstairs any time of the week and have a few drinks. I tried to keep her healthy by bringing good food to her. I introduced her to new activities that didn't include alcohol, but she never connected with other people unless they were partiers. At one point, I convinced her to try an alcohol rehab facility. She lasted 1 week and left. I am not like those people. I'm not an alcoholic. I can stop at any time I want. I don't even drink that much. Remember, I don't even keep alcohol in the house. How can I have a problem? Her excuses poured out one after another. Over the years, it had been a battle to love her as the person she was. My girls, now teens, had long asked not to visit her. They'd seen right through her. They weren't used to cruel words, and they didn't want me to hear them either. I assured them that I didn't take them to heart, but I wanted to respect their grandmother even when it was difficult. I explained that she was, deep down, lonely. Mom got drunk again one night and broke her other hip when she slipped in the lobby of her apartment. The apartment manager, who I'd become friends with, kept an eye on Mom and told me she'd been rushed to the hospital. This time, the hip did not heal as well. Mom was older and even more stubborn. She refused to do her workouts. Scared of falling again, she wouldn't leave the house or her favorite chair. Mom, let's take a walk just around the apartment. We don't even have to go downstairs. We can walk around up here. I grabbed her hand to help her up. She was sore and weak. I can't walk far. It's too hard. She hesitantly took hold of me. We walked around for about 10 minutes, and then she went back to her chair and watched Jerry Springer while I made her lunch. We did this several times a week. This strong-willed woman who used to walk everywhere wanted to stay home out of fear of falling again. During one visit, I noticed that her feet looked swollen and red. I lifted her pant leg. Her legs were covered with raw, open wounds. She'd never told me. Mom, what is going on? We need to take you to the doctor right away. This is serious. I picked up the phone to make an appointment. No, just put some lotion on them. They're fine. I saw the fear in her face, but I no longer listened to her pleas. I wouldn't be playing nursemaid to her. I took her to the doctor, who said she had a serious infection on her legs caused by her sedentary life. They told me how to take care of her, and they assigned a visiting nurse to show me how to apply the medications. The nurse showed up at a mom's apartment the next day. She instructed me on how to glove up, soak mom's feet in the plastic tub, dry them gently, rub medication cream up her legs, up to her knees, and then wrap them in gauze. I did this every other day. I was doing just that when my mom looked down at me one day. I knelt by her feet, putting my gloves on, next to a warm tub of water. As I gently lifted her feet into the tub, she patted the top of my head. "You are a good daughter, and I bet you are a good mom." She continued to stroke my head. My world stopped. Words of affirmation from my mom as I knelt beside her, washing her feet. I was aware that God knew I needed to hear those words. The last few months had been hard. She had been especially cruel with her words and behavior. I would set her up for the day, then leave as soon as I could get away from the negativity. I would get to my car and argue with God. "Why can't you just take her? She hates this world. She's a miserable human being. I don't want to do this anymore." I would hear a whisper in my head, "Patience and grace. Patience and grace." I didn't have either. Now, as she sat before me, I almost backed away from the shock of her words. God told me to soak them in. I was a grown woman. I was a mom, a wife, a sister, a daughter. I needed to hear them. I looked up at her face. It was soft and gentle. We smiled at each other. "Thanks, Mom." I teared up and continued to clean her wounded legs. Okay. So, digging into a memoir. Yeah, you can see how intense that can be. At some point, I am going to do an audiobook. It's on my bucket list. I just have to plan for the time of that. It takes a lot. It takes, first, a lot of money, and second, I have to go down, I think probably my publisher's, the person that does the audio is in LA, so I'm going to have to go down and stay there for weeks and weeks and work on this book. But you can see how audibly, when you hear a book, it does sound a lot different than you read it. And also, memoirs are really different because you're not just giving instruction, you're actually digging into some stories, and it can be very therapeutic and it can also be extremely hard. The thing that I've looked at through since I've written this book is I've done 4 years of diving into trauma-informed coaching and realizing that a lot of this book was so helpful and therapeutic to me, but also there was just a lot of things that I hadn't cleared out of the trauma that I had gone through with my mom. And when I go back and I read through this book, I'm like, you know, I read it like, oh, it's a Tuesday. My mom kidnapped us at 8. It's fine. We started a new school the next day kind of thing. And when I had to go and dig into my story, I bawled for days because I didn't realize how intense my life had been and how much the trauma had really settled into my body and how many lies that I had attached as truth to my life. And also trying to raise my girls and do the right thing, you know, as a Christian, everybody's always like, just forgive your mom, love your mom. But, you know, unless you've walked in those shoes, and that's exactly what I did. I loved my mom, but I had to set such high boundaries because unless you've walked that journey, you don't know how extremely difficult and toxic that can be. You have to find a balance of not being pushed over to where you're not being healthy with your own family and teaching them new habits. And so when I look back at, you know, the different things that my mom went through over the years and how we went on this journey together, it seems like forever. But then when I read the book, like even going back to this place, it like, ugh, you know, hit my heart so solidly because I can remember sitting there. It was such a prophetic thing of washing my mom's feet. Like who in the world, like you can't write this stuff up. of kneeling down and washing, being humble to this woman who was not lovable, washing her feet, being so mad because I'm like, once again, she is not taking care of herself and now I have to clean up her mess, and you know, all the thoughts that go through our minds, and just trauma upon trauma piling on, and just trying to do the right thing because I love Jesus and I know, what would Jesus do? He would wash her feet, like wash her feet. Not expecting that at that moment, my mom would touch the top of my head and say those words to me. It literally shook my world. I don't think I can even put that feeling in a book. I hope you got that feeling, but it was like such a shock and was not lost on me that I am kneeling down washing feet, just like the Bible. Like, what is happening right now? And it was kind of like, you know, God putting me in that position to say, you won't hear these words if you're sitting next to her having a conversation. Those words will not fall on you the same way. Because if we were sitting in a chair and we were just talking and she's like, you're a really good daughter and I bet you're a really good mom, I'd be like, yeah, yeah, whatever. I don't believe what's coming out of her mouth because I don't trust my mom. My mom has disappointed me so many times. My mom is not trustworthy. She is not someone whose word I will take as gospel. But when you're in a kneeling position and you are at your most humble and you are gloved up having to tend to these wounds, if I tell you guys, those wounds were gross. Like her feet were bad, like her legs. It was from her knees down to her ankles, and they were like open wounds, and it fell on me to take care of her, and I was so angry about that. And so being able to put that scene into this book was so prophetic to me to realize when you're in these hard places and you just are hopeless, helpless, you're like, I don't even know what I need to do in this situation. I'm just trying to get through it. I'm in the pit right now. If you take a step back, you can see how God is working behind the scenes. You can see that he's in that pit with you. He was there with me. So writing this book was like such an eye-opener to me of just looking back at the history. I think that's the other thing, is like, look back at your history to see where God has actually taken care of you. He's brought you out of stuff because you're still here breathing. So you may have gone through some heavy stuff, but you're here and you made it. And so let's dig through that and figure it out. Get some help for the things that you're still feeling stuck in. So this book was such a help for me in the beginning of a journey that I had no idea I was going to go on in the coaching arena. Went on to get a couple of certifications before I met Carrie Scott Garcia and went on my journey with Freedom Academy and then becoming a trauma-informed coach to be able to sit with other people's hard stories, because I know hard stories and I had to clean out my own hard story before I could sit with others and help them. And so now with this second book, I'm excited because the things that I do teach in my coaching, I now get to put in print form. And I want it to be something that people can go back to. So like maybe you come and you take my 6-week course with me and then you go, gosh, I just wish I could do some more. But, you know, the course is over at 6 weeks and I usually give a bonus so we can just do a recap. And everybody always gets really excited about the bonus week. They're like, we want the 7th week. And so that's really cool to be able to kind of recap where they started. I love watching women at the beginning of this journey just feeling like so broken, and like that part I don't love. But it's like what I love is watching how even from the first time to maybe the 4th lesson where they're starting to be able to breathe through things a little bit better. I always talk about the pause. Take a pause. You know, you don't need to react to every single thing that happens to you. You don't have to have an answer to every single thing that is thrown at you. Sometimes you can sit quietly and just not say, have any rebuttal for it. You don't have to defend it. You don't have to have a perfect answer for it. Sometimes you just need to pause for a minute and think about things, and that's okay. And so watching women go through this course, and then they were like, gosh, I wish I could just like go back and redo some of these things. And now with this next book, they're going to be able to do that. You're going to be able to do that. You're going to be able to pull this book. I hope you read the first one, read the memoir, and then walk through these 6 weeks of the different steps that I talk about, breaking generational dysfunction and finding good mama mentors and setting boundaries and letting God lead the path and leaving a legacy and, you know, all the other things that are in here. And I want the book to be pretty. I love pretty and soft because I've had like a lot of hard things happen to me. And so I love surrounding myself with really gentle, soft things because it brings me a lot of peace. And so it's the other thing with you. Like if you like things loud, you love bright colors, you want surround yourself with that. If you are someone who's like, oh, I'm really like introvert, I need soft colors, I need gentle things, surround yourself with that. Get a weighted blanket. Buy fresh flowers. Go pick fresh flowers. All the flowers are blooming right now. You know, do the things that bring you joy. Those are things that are really going to inspire you and encourage you to keep going. I always tell my clients, fresh air is God. Let me tell you, I've gone through the hardest time probably in my life again this last 4 months. And I will say getting fresh air and walking has been truly a God saver for me. It re-regulates my body. It helps me breathe deep in some good fresh air and help my nervous system get to a calmer state. And so that has been like really good to be able to do that. And I'm hoping to get on more of an even schedule with that. Every time I start doing that, I get like sick again. It's like, I must have a lot of junk in there that has to get out. I don't know. Or it is flu season too. So that's the other thing. I think the process of writing a book is really hard. So if you have a heart to do that, just know that you are going to have to buckle up and you're going to have start and stops along the way. It's a process. It's going to take time. You're not going to pop out a book in 6 months unless it's like, you know, a 30-page book or something like that. If you want to write a book that is 200 pages or less, I would say it takes a year. Maybe a year and a half. Some people, it takes 3 or 4 years. And there's no time limit unless you have a deadline with a publisher. And so, you know, you do have some deadlines as far as they want the book out sooner than later. And so if you're working with an editor, they are going to hold your feet to a fire, which she is. Shout out to Leslie. She's been great to encourage me and gives me little tidbits of where we can tighten things up or maybe explain this little section better. So the next book's going to have little stories in it of how it matches to each segment. So, you know, having like the forgiveness part has a whole story about me spending a week in the Tenderloin in San Francisco. And she loved that story. At the same time, it was like heartbreaking. And so I think that having stories and having a storyteller mind is really cool to explain a lesson. And so I like to have a little bit of a story. It's going to have a little bit of in the beginning, it'll have either a Bible verse or like a quote that I really like from somebody that will set the tone for that chapter. And so, yeah, so that is what I have been working on this last year, really since the beginning of last year, just kind of sitting with that and trying to figure out what I wanted this next book to look like. And encourage you guys that if you have a book in your head, like just start the process, start writing, start outlining. I would also say, if you have a title in mind, here's just a little tidbit. You always want to do your research because every publishing house will ask you this. How is it alike and how is it different? So you need to Google the title. If you have a title, make sure no one else has that title or it's not exactly. There's some titles that are the same. It's really funny. Somebody wrote, had my title like 2 years after I had written mine. I'm like, well, you probably didn't check your homework out because I already had that title. But That happens, but the subtitle will be different. And so you kind of want to make sure, if you can, don't use the same title that someone else is. Although I do see different title books that are kind of the same, and then the subtitle is a different subject. And so that happens. But if you do your research well, you'll look for a book that doesn't have the title you're using. Make sure it's not tied. I'll tell you a quick little funny story. When I first wanted to write Unmothered, I thought the title was going to be Mama Love. And because I just thought, like, what's a mama's love, right? It's such a good title. And we Googled it, and there was some criminal named Mama Love. And I was like, yeah, I don't think I want that title anymore, because somebody's going to click on the wrong thing and be like, is this an association with this guy? Like, what's happening? So that's what I'm saying, is do your homework. Make sure, like, you know, it's not, this title isn't associated with anything else, and it's kind of unusual or different for you. And if you are wanting to know more about the second book, you can sign up for my newsletter. I have a newsletter out called Tuesday Talks with Phyllis. You can go on my website, sign up for that. You also get a freebie with that of, I think it's the 5 steps to setting boundaries. And we're going to be updating that to something new, but it's great to have a newsletter come into your box to see, like, where the journey is going with this book. It will be out sometime this year. We are just tightening up all the chapters right now. We finished the last chapter. Woohoo! And so we are just in the process of, now we have to go through each one and kind of correct all the corrections, maybe add or take away some things, and just tighten it up. It'll go into hard edits, and then we're going to do some design, and yeah, and then we're good to go. So I hope you guys enjoyed this. Hope you enjoyed me reading a little bit from my story. If you're interested, again, in getting Unmothered, it is available on Amazon. And also, if you want a signed copy, again, you can go to my website and get the book there, and I will sign it for you. So until next time, peeps, I will see you later.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. If you want to get connected with other women who share your unmothered heart, head on over to my private Unmothered Facebook community group. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review for this podcast to help me share this message with other listeners. All the links mentioned in today's episode will be in the show notes below. Bye, peeps.